Good morning and welcome. Hour number three begins. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Time check brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. Some of your top stories. Secret Service report comes out. 200 pages of, well, nothing we didn't already know. Lack of leadership and really just doing a poor planning job. The advanced teams, inexperienced, and the list goes on. Drones in New Jersey. What? Yeah, it's still a what question. Exactly. And also, that CEO assassin, apparently he had also plotted to initially bomb some place somewhere in Manhattan, maybe still targeting that CEO, but using a bomb in instead of a gun. There's a lot more to talk about. Some of it we want to talk to Congresswoman Kat Kamick about. Good morning, Congresswoman. How are you?
Good morning, Bob. I hope you're staying warm. Floridians, you know, we're not used to this kind of weather.
Well, actually, yeah, we got a little warm spell. Then the cold stuff's coming, the warm stuff. You know, the kind of stuff that where you get air conditioning colds and then it just goes from there. Yeah.
Yeah.
But we'll deal with it. Hey, let me ask you this. How effective do you think that Ilan and Vivek are going to be with their program, Doge?
Well, I'll start with, I think they're going to be very effective. One thing that we have seen in the last couple of years is the ability for the outside, right, the people and different organizations and whatnot to influence what happens in Washington. And if there's one thing we know about Washington, it's filled with a bunch of chicken crap politicians. And they are scared of their own shadow. And so when you put two incredible individuals like Vivek and Ilan in a room with members and they basically say, hey, listen, this is our mandate from not just President Trump, but the American people. We've got to figure out a way to cut waste, fraud, and abuse, and all the inefficiencies out of government. I had to say, because I was in one of the meetings last week with Ilan and Vivek, and you know we were chatting, and I couldn't help but send Vivek a text message afterwards, and I said, you see, some of the members that are standing up, and now all of a sudden these are hardcore fiscal conservatives. These are the same people that had no problem passing CRs without reading them, or spending billions of dollars in omnibuses and doing earmarks. These are the same people that continue to spend into oblivion. Now they turn around and they're somehow fiscal conservatives. But hey, I'll take it. If this is the new thing that's hot and popular, I'm all on board, because we need people in every single vote to get on board with paring down government as we know it. We're on an unsustainable path.
Yeah, I can't remember how many times I've heard in my lifetime how, you know, the era of big government is gone now from both Republicans like Reagan and also, you know, even Democrats, Bill Clinton. I remember when he said it as well. So maybe we'll see some real changes in our lifetime. Let's hope so. You were one of the first to really talk about the weaponization of government, and it's got to feel pretty good that Joe Biden basically agrees with you, you know, that the government was weaponized against his son, right?
You know, when they start saying the quiet part out loud, that's a moment of reckoning. I have to tell you, after 2 years, Jim Jordan and I and our team, we had gone through, had hearings, issued reports, groundbreaking reports. I mean, really proving without a shadow of a doubt that the federal government, the agencies, and particularly the political appointees were weaponizing federal resources against everyday Americans. And for 2 years, the Biden administration, heck, I remember at one point the White House did a press conference and KJP called me by name a liar for talking about the weaponization of government. And now to have it come full circle, it really does make you feel all warm and fuzzy that really you've been right all along. And now they start to see, maybe what we've been doing sets a precedent that isn't so great. Maybe we should have been a little bit more mindful along the way. So I think this is going to be very interesting here in the last couple of weeks of the Biden administration. What else comes? I expect major leaks to come out of the White House, because now everyone's going to be in CYA mode. So hang on for that.
All right. Looking forward to it. I'm pretty certain, but I'm not sure. I'll let you speak for yourself. Pam Bondi, a good move for attorney general, I would imagine.
Yes, I think the picks have been fabulous. Pam Bondi is going to do amazing. We have a whole host of Floridians, honestly, that are going to be, you know, taking up residence in Washington, D.C., which I think is great, because for how long have we said, make America Florida? It's really the place that is the new blueprint for freedom and liberty and self-determination. So I think Pam's going to be phenomenal. I think Kash Patel is absolutely going to rock the FBI to their very core. And do some very, very good house cleaning there. We have so many incredible nominees from Commerce with Howard, somebody who really is a true patriot. I mean, it really doesn't get better than who we have as far as the slate. And I do think that Pete Hegseth is going to do a great job as well. It's going to be a nice change not having a Secretary of Defense who is bought and paid for by the defense contractors. So, another great move.
Well, look, I think these are great moves, and I think that, you know, we'll make some changes in government that'll be positive, but I'm also concerned that you can't shift the culture quite as quickly, and I guess what I'm getting to here is you've got a murderer activist, murder of a CEO, in some circles on the left as like a folk hero, and the true hero that may have saved lives on the subway puts himself out there, Daniel Penny, he's vilified. Yeah. What the heck's going on here?
Well, you and I have talked about this before. We're living through this era of entertainment where the end goal for influencers and now politicians alike is to increase the temperature in the room, and more outrageous content gets more clicks, and it's become this, you know, rush to the top of Mount Clickmore. And that has helped breed a culture that is completely cattywampus. And I look no further than a tweet I saw last night from Jamal Bowman. We all remember him in New York. Thank goodness he is no longer going to be spending his time as a member of the House.
Is he the fire alarm puller?
Yes, he is the infamous fire alarm puller. Yes, and he put out this lengthy tweet last night, and I could only read about half of it because I just got pissed off. And it basically starts out with, "Dear white people, I don't know what to do about you," and goes into this tirade and talk about a race baiting, horrible, just tirade that when I finally like caught my breath, I'm like, you know what? He's doing this so he can get clicks. He's doing this so he can get attention. But there's something in this undercurrent where people have latched onto it, and it's part of this bigger issue that we're having in the country, which is a little bit of a populist movement that ties into the angertainment. It's ultimately dangerous because it pits people against each other based on whatever box you check. It's Republicans versus Democrats. It's black versus white. It's women versus men. It's turned into this massive us versus them. And it's all, at the end of the day, for profit. And look no further than what's happening with the online clicks and the shares and the monetization and what goes on there. So the only way that we defeat this, though, ultimately, is if we can put a stop to it and have people who are willing to stand up and just take a stand. Like, I've seen some insane commentary about the shooting, the effectively assassination of the UnitedHealthcare CEO. That man has a family. I don't care what your thoughts are on the insurance companies, and we all have an opinion on it. Certainly, I know I do, and it's not a great one, but this is a human being, and we should never tolerate this type of violence. Hard stop, right? And what Daniel Penny did was he saved people's lives on the subway. He stood in the gap when no one else would. He is a courageous hero, as far as I'm concerned. Everyone should be able to stand up and say, that is, in fact, true. And what was happening on the subway that day was a tragedy. We wish it hadn't ended that way, but he stepped up when no one else would. People are just too cowardly to stand up and say the truth.
Well, and this is going to, you know, the fact they drag him through court, even though he got off the charges, still, it's going to send the message, don't step up and help your neighbor. Congresswoman, always a pleasure. Stay safe. We look forward to hearing from you again soon. It's an exciting time. We're hoping for good things. Keep it up.
Absolutely. Appreciate you guys.